יהיו לרצון מרפא והגיון לבי לפניך אדוני צורי וגואלי. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. Shalom and welcome all to our ongoing classes in the topic of the classical Kabbalah from our book called Ohel Moed. I am, of course, your host, Ariel Bar Tzedok. You find me online, koshertorah.com. We are now in the middle of a discussion. Well, I shouldn't say in the middle, actually. We're kind of at the end of a discussion about what we've called the Ten Sefirot. And I will recommend you back to the previous classes to play catch-up if you haven't listened to them yet. Now, Sefirot again. Quick review. Divine emanations. How the unknowable God materializes and reveals an aspect, an element of himself that we created entities can thus be knowing of the of God. I mean, I really don't like to use religious terminologies, even to refer to the ultimate existence as God. Why? Because we always fall back into the mythology, the primitive, literally idolatrous mythologies of fantasy thinking that somehow God, you know, looks like that picture of him on the top of the Sistine Chapel. I mean, you know, we all have these pictures and images. And even though I've discussed when teaching the Abulafia system of meditation, where it says you're supposed to visualize an entity before you, well, you're not supposed to actually be visualizing a face without, you know, direct, you know, attributes. Sometimes people in meditative experience will see entities with attributes, and I discuss what that is, where that is, how that is in meditative series. But I must emphasize, that's not God. Now, as we get into the discussion for now, I'm going to be revealing to you some very important and profound, what have been pretty much secrets, revelations, and I have felt directed, empowered, compelled, if you will, since the high holiday period, my dreams and meditations at that time, to be more active and revelatory in this material, and to, if we will, connect the dots so that people can begin to understand things in all due respect, the way things need to be understood. So now, we are going to talk about the final four of the lower Sefirot. They are called Netzach and Hoden, Yesod and Malchut. Before I get into the issues within our text, let me give you just a wee bit of background. In our previous class, we were talking about the Sefirah called Tiferet. In many of my other lessons, I've described to you the Sefirot as aspects or elements of psychology and how they are applied within the relationship to human consciousness. And I must confess, that is only one application. That is an internal, personal application of a greater external reality, and it's that external reality that I feel we must discuss because I feel it's essential. We have to get grounded. We have to get back down to earth. For those of you who are with me in this live class and have a picture on your screen, you'll see a photograph of my land going up, looking towards my mountain, and the beautiful fall here. Lovely, lovely scene. I thought it'd be a lot nicer to look at than just something else. But let's understand. We described how the Tiferet, we call the heart, is the dimensional plane which we call heaven, or the spiritual. Now, as we are going to read within the material before us in this class, we're going to find out that the Earth is the physical plane. And we discussed in our previous lesson about the parallel dimensional universes. But you must understand something. The relationship of the parallel universes called heaven and earth are always symbolized as male and female. Give and receive. They are always spoken of in a very overtly and passionate sexual language. Indeed, when one reads the theoretical system of the Ari, you will find that he is always speaking of what we call zivugim, which we call yichudim. The zivugim are actually, the correct translation of the term is, a sexual bond. And that is something that must be understood. So, hold on a second here. I gotta do something real quick. There we go. Anyway, sexual bonds, well, if you're a human being, I think you should know what that is. But we must recognize, like everything else, sex is an actual mirror reflection of something greater than what it is. And it is because people seek that which it really is and cannot achieve it, that they try to achieve its mirror reflection, which is actual physical sexual intercourse. And the reason why we have such a proclivity today for reckless sexual abandon, it is a misguided and misplaced application for the search for spiritual truth. Now, in order for the heavens and the earth, the physical and the spiritual, to interact, to meet, to merge, to unite, there is something in the ancient tradition called the Sulam Aliyah, the ladder of ascent. Now, don't think that this is just some symbol or something psychological. No, it's something actual. Remember Jacob and his vision? He transcended this dimension and saw a parallel dimension. If you remember the story in Genesis, that the angels are going up and the angels are going down. Well, they really were. Now, what's this ladder? Now, please don't think of the ladder that you buy at your hardware store. Nor should you think of some kind of an elevator or anything of the kind. Understand and know that the true commodity in the universe we call life force energy. Call it nefesh. Call it chi. Call it orgone. And in order to make it valuable, to make it work, it has to be, like any other energy, properly calibrated in order to function within the system in which it was designed to operate. As such, it has to be aligned with certain types of energies. When all of these energies are in proper alignment, that is when, if you will, the ladder of ascent works. So, Tiferet is the foundation. Heaven, the source world, the source dimension, the source universe. How does it get here? I used examples moments ago saying it's a mirror reflection. Well, great, I understand what a mirror does, it reflects, but if I don't have a mirror, then it's not going to reflect. So what exactly is this, in quote, mirror of which I refer? These are the powers of the Sefirot Netzach and Hod and Yesod. You see, the Arizal explains this in a very profoundly psychological truth. The Sefirah Tiferet is partially concealed and partially revealed. He says, I'm not going to get into all the little details, but he divides the Tiferes into thirds. He says pretty much that the lower one-third is revealed, the uppers are concealed. What that means is part is conscious and part is unconscious. That source, the deepest level of our consciousness before it goes into the unconscious, call it, if you will, your conscience. Not your conscious, your conscience, that which is in you, which speaks to know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. That's your tiferet. Something deep within you is talking to you, and you just get an inkling of it in your conscious mind. Well then, as the process of the sefirot go, what do we do with that? Now here is where you must understand Netzach. Netzach is usually translated as victory. I translate it as conquering. The name that corresponds to this is Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei of armies, Tzivaot. Never interpret Tzivaot as hosts. Anybody who knows Hebrew knows Tzava means army, military, force, imposition, conquering. The armies of God do not go around on humanitarian missions. They go around conquering. The aspect and of Netzach, our book says here, He halochemet milchamot Yisrael menetzachat otam. This is the attribute which fights the wars of Israel and brings victory. He says that this is the attribute which King David would focus on in his prayers so that he would be victorious in his military conquests. And he even goes and quotes here the traditional opening of a psalm, Lam Natseach Mizmor, which translates usually as to the conductor a song. But he does a little letter play on the words and shows you how the word Lam Natseach has within it Netzach, which means this victory, and Mizmor, song, has within it a word which he relates to a verse in Leviticus 25 that you're supposed to prune or cut down your vineyards. And he makes a play that the words cutting down, zomor, tizmor, is related to mizmor. What's all this mean? He says that it is by the power of this attribute that King David was able to cut down his enemies and those who hated them and be victorious over them in battle. Now he says, our book does, this is why we're supposed to recite songs, psalms, before we pray, so that we have the power to break the forces of evil and those which hinder our prayer, so that our prayers can ascend and be heard and received. Okay, a lot of nice words. What are we talking about? Let's get real. We all know what to pray means, right? Dear Lord, please, 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 gimme, 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 amen, P.S., I love you. If that's your prayer, you better, should just stop, because you're wasting your time, you're not doing anything. If anything, you're angering heaven. Attitude. Calibration. This attribute which we call Netzach, says it's on the right side, it's like Rachamim, it's called the right leg. What is it? What is the attribute of victory, and again, as I say, conquering? Here it goes. This is it. This is the initial expression of Tiferet, conscience. Netzach is a fundamental psychological attribute, in which you are absolutely convinced that you are right, and that what you stand for is right, and you will not tolerate any existence of a contrary reality to what you darn well know is right. If you say the world should be blue, you stand there and you make the world blue. If you say the world should be right, then you make every effort. You never give up. There is no such thing as quitting. There is no such thing as surrender. You become the meanest, blankly blank blank SOB. You make the reality happen. There is no fail. There is no try. There is only do. That is the focused, raw expression of the heart. That is how Tiferet materializes. When David HaMelech, King David, went to war, he didn't go to war, gee, I pray that God's with me. No. God is with me. I will win. There is no other reality. And if the reality was hard to accomplish, then he huffed and he puffed and he blew away the opposition. Even if it was made of a house of bricks. Being that he was kosher, he didn't eat the little pigs inside. But you understand what I'm getting at. This is an attitude which today is emasculated out of every man and woman. You are taught by these so-called spiritual philosophers, well, you know, I guess it's God's will. And you hear that whine in their voice as they talk. If I could, I would tell you, kick them square to make sure that they have something to whine about.
Yeah, it sounds ironic.
No, it's not! You don't take no for an answer. You pound, you beat, you demand. That is Netzach. And what's all this talk about the songs and stuff? Attitude. Try it sometime. You sing songs, you get into a mood, you get aroused. And it's that arousal, that mood, that puts you forward. For those of you who listen to this live class, you know, before we go on to recording, I always play a selection of songs. Mostly oldies, 50s, 60s, 70s stuff, sometimes some other things. But to every selection, there is a common theme. And I've discussed this before with those of you here live. And tonight I was playing for you love songs. Because I wanted to express this experience. Netzach is not love. But if you wish to acquire love, it is acquired through the attribute of Netzach. Now somebody here is making a comment in text that people have this attitude today, but they use it for selfish and ignorant desires instead of using it for good. No. They don't even have this attitude, not even for selfish or ignorant desires, because they're not strong enough. That's the issue. They think they are, but they're not. This is called a pillar. It is an attitude. This is essential for the ascent to heaven. I know so many people who do the meditations. They do the prayers, they do the meditations, they recite the holy names, and they say nothing happens. So I said, where's your passion? Where's your Netzach? Oh, I don't know. Am I supposed to have that? What do you mean you're supposed to have it? You go get yourself a car, load up the back, and your gas tank is empty, and you wonder why you're not going anywhere? That's why you study this stuff. When you have this passion, it changes the calibration of your psyche. And like Jacob in a dream, you can see the angels coming and going. Because these sefirot correlate to that domain which we call Yetzirah, and that is called the domain of the angels. I'll tell you something about angels. Yes, there are many different races of them. And for those of you who get my Kosher Torah emails, specifically for today, October 22nd, 2012, sent out a little blurb and translation of some angelic materials. Translations from many different sources. But I will tell you this about these entities who come and go to our world. They are by nature feeling beings. They are empowered by this feeling. They are compelled by feeling. You cannot rationalize, analyze, and intellectualize with an angel. They will pierce into your mind and cause your flesh to spontaneously combust, watch you burn, and symbolically roast a hot dog on you at the same time. Now, again, somebody in text here is asking, is this the same attitude needed to set one's Yetzer Hara against one's Yetzer Tov? Evil inclination against good inclination? No. Evil inclination serves God just as the good does. Don't get philosophical here. Evil inclination. What's evil? You control it. That's discipline. Different. Netzach is a calibrated power in the revelation wherein which Tiferet links to Malchut. It is also considered one of the pillars of prophecy. If you do not have this symbolic gas in your engine, you never make the ascent and therefore never connect. Any and all true children of this descent, the children of the Merkava, knew this. Many of you might be familiar with a very famous story told in the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, who was very instrumental in the insurrection against Rome in the days of Bar Kokhba. He was captured, tortured to death, killed. Now this is a man who had the ability to transcend into a parallel dimension at any time. He could have easily slid through a slit between spaces and disappeared forever. Others did. He said, no, I must give an example. And he did. And he riled up this power of Netzach, and as they were torturing him to death, he's sitting there having a very calm conversation with his students. Whether this story is history or legend, it's irrelevant to the moral of what he's trying to teach us. Sheer determination. This is Netzach, where in which there is no such thing as no for an answer. That's what you must always understand. And any time that we compromise, in the eyes of heaven, it is nothing other than weakness. Give an example, real quick. Story told in the Gemara, when it was time for Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi to die. The angel of death came and says, it's time to take you to, you know, the other world. And long story short, he got into discussion, and the Malach said, you know something? Rabbi Yoshua actually said to the Malach, Can we go and take a look at it before I have to go? And he said, sure. And he took him there, and this is obviously interdimensional transport. And according to what it said, Rabbi Yoshua jumped over the gates of the Garden of Eden, in other words, not got in, and said, I vow I'm never going to leave. The angel of death is really miffed. That really wasn't what he was bargaining for. And goes in front of the heavenly court and says, hey, look what Rabbi Yoshua just did. That's not right. And the court says, well, let's review Rabbi Yoshua's life. If he ever made a vow and then nullified it, showing a change or a compromise, we'll nullify this vow too, because if he has an opening for compromise, then compromise is due. But when they found none, he was allowed to stay. Again, it doesn't matter if this is a historical or legendary rendition. What matters is the moral of the story. This is the power that you and I have. So when we pray in the absolute conviction of what is right and shaking the foundations of heaven demanding what is right, do not underestimate the power of such prayer. Whether you're reciting it in words, in a whisper, or yelling at the top of your lungs, or in silence, it's a raw gut passion. And when you are in that calibration, you will find in the other dimensional plane others of equal calibration. And in your mind's eye, you will see them. But I warn you, they will see you too. This has reason. Let's move on. The next sefirah is called Hod. Now, Netzach and Hod have a very unique relationship. They stand together because ultimately Netzach is called the right pillar and Hod is called the left pillar. Netzach and Hod are said to correspond to the two pillars that held up the temple in Jerusalem, built by Solomon, called the Yachin and the Boaz. They also correspond to the two cherubs, Kerovim, that were put on the Ark of the Covenant, because they became the actual conduit between what we call the heavens and the earth. These are the Metatrons and the Sandal Phones. Those are the names that we refer to them now. But understand that Netzach is that outgoing absolute conviction of what is right. This is a dramatic pause. Okay, so you know what's right. Why is it right? What difference does it make? And the answer is because there has to be a set order, a proper form, a correct structure. Talk to any married couple. In a traditional, psychologically balanced marriage of husband and wife, the wife rules the home. She decides the color schemes, where the furniture goes, how things should go, because that's her home. That's her nest. The man, traditionally, is supposed to go out, conquer, bring home the dough. And the wife establishes a grounded, secure home. Not a house. A house is a building. A home is a safe haven. These concepts are foreign to most people today. They don't understand the natural and the necessary balance relationship. Netzach and Hod balance one another, because the purpose of the expansive, conquering energy of Netzach is to establish the grounded, proper, correct structure and form of Hod. That's called the glory of God. These are the right and the left pillars and the foundations and the conduits of prophecy. These are the Sulam Aliyah, the ladder of ascent. One goes up, one goes down. It's a symbiotic relationship. And they are both essential psychological attributes, and they are actual energy fields that give rise to species of other entities which exist in between what we call heaven and earth. And as such, They are, well, let me rephrase. They have bodies. I won't call them physical bodies as we know them. According to our sages, they are said to be bodies of light and air. Do they have any type of mass to them? I don't know. Many will understand and see them as orbs of light. Now, these two forces balance in a harmony. In a harmony which is the ninth sefirah called Yesod. Yesod is correctly the conduit for all above. It's directly underneath heaven, Tiferet, and is the direct energy conduit to the physical world. And therefore, Tiferet is the source of the life force energy, and it channels to us through the Netzach and Hod energies, but comes to us in its earthly form, which again is non-physical, as what we call here Yesod. Chi, Nefesh, some will say Ruach, Orgone, the energy which we call the life force. The life force energy is also called libido. But libido should never be limited in understanding to the Freudian concept of just being sexual energy. Understand it in the greater Jungian insight. It is creative energy of all kinds. When this creative energy possesses you, you immediately branch out into the natural expressions of the Yesod, which are Netzach and Hod, which bring you to Tiferet. And there we have a cycle. So, Netzach and Hod congeal into Yesod. Yesod is the conduit. We refer to it as the righteous one who is the foundation of the universe. Righteousness, as we know, is doing what is right. Doing what is right always includes a proper balance of sexual energy. One of the external expressions of that proper balance are the laws which govern sexual activity. We all know biologically any male and female human being can copulate sexually together. I mean, just the plumbing is there that it works. But we have social mores, laws and rules and regulations that limit the expressions of our sexual applications. And therefore we have family, marriages, prohibited sexual unions, incest, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, and the like. These are psychically and spiritually incongruent and unnatural, and as such will disconnect one from the proper calibration of spiritual ascent. And that is just the natural law of it. So the Yesod is this energy. It clearly correlates to the genital organs. But a point that's made very clear in our text here. Netzach and Hod are called the lower heavenly court, the Bet Din Shel Mata. And it says here that the covenant of the circumcision, sexual energy, is what balances it. Hesed and Gevurah are called the upper court. 70 angels above, corresponding to the 70 angels below. Now, it is time to reveal some secrets. There are two races, generally speaking, actually there are multiple races, but two levels of what we can call messengers that intervene, are intermediaries from the higher Tiferet plane to this earthly domain. Those in the Tiferet plane are all called by the name Yudke Vavke. Those who are just above this physical world but are in the conduits of Netzach Anod, they are called the Elohim. Their names end with El. And they are the conduits and the agents and the channels of Yudke Vavke. They below are called the lower heavenly court, corresponding to the upper heavenly court. Or in other words, that which is to transpire is received from higher unknown worlds into the parallel dimension which we call Tiferet. And from there, it channels to actual entities who are emotional entities by nature and not intellectual entities. And they are the conduits that channel the chi, life force, and orgone to their individual representative nations and places. These are called Elohim Tzivaot. Right? Elohim Tzivaot, God of armies. These are the watchers, the guardian angels. And I assure you, they are not nice, benevolent, sweetsy, lovey kind of guys who just want to give you a kissy kiss like you see in all those stupid movies. They, like God above, Isaiah 55, their thoughts are not like our thoughts, and their ways are not like our ways. Like heaven, they too do not see any real difference between what we call life and death. And they look at human suffering as a curious and unnecessary choice that we ourselves embrace. You say, man, well, I'm suffering. I didn't choose to embrace it. Well, they look at you and say, well, why are you where you're at? Changing. Well, how do I do that? I don't know. Netzach Anod. That's who they are. They don't know anything else. And therefore, they cannot see or understand anything else in us. I'm revealing to you a very profound and powerful secret of how to commune with angels and how to change the world around us. This is very important because even if, for those of you who have never listened to my series on Eliyahu HaNavi, I have the classes available online in our MP3 store, the biblical story of the Book of Kings. Very famous biblical story when Eliyahu prays for rain. Sits down, prays for rain, looks up, calls the servant, any rain yet? And he goes, no. Prays again, waits, looks up, any rain yet? Says, there's a little cloud. Prays a third time, and finally the rains come. And as I pointed out there, Eliyahu wasn't just sitting and going, please, 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 give me rain. He was creating the rain in his mind. He was forcing the dominion of his mind over matter, forcing his will over the will of the universe. And by the power of Yudke Vavke within him, he was channeling it, becoming a Merkava. And therefore, this is how you bring God to earth, by imposing the light. So it's called the light to the nations. This is how it's done. The watcher angels, whose job it is to watch over this planet, to watch over the nations, that's their job. They receive their marching orders, if you will, their commands and structures from the what we call here the Beit Din that's above them in the concealed world of the parallel dimension. We, in our prayers, if we properly project through the Yesod, our creative flowing juices expressed properly through Netzach and Hod, through the conquering, demanding aspect that everything be right, Netzach and Hod. Then we get down into the deepest level of our essence, which is the conscience. This is how our own minds actually traverse heaven, or I should say traverse the universe, to get to that dimensional plane which we call heaven. That is how prayers operate. So when it's time for choosing new political leaders, making great choices in life, this is how we must approach things. Not with just the sit-back, laid-back attitude and say, well, but rather the forceful, dominant attitude of, yes, will. Not, well, but will. There's a natural way and a natural flow of the universe. And when you are in tune with it, you will find that the universe will always be the proverbial wind blowing at your back. And when you know this, and you go with this, you will find God is with you. I have long counseled people, let's be practical, never stand at a closed door knocking. And you can say, well, I demand it open, demand, demand, demand. Okay? I understand the power of Netzach. But does it have the power of Tiferet in it? If it does, the door will open. And if it doesn't, it never will. So how do you know the difference? When you're not being stubborn, but you're being calm, focused, disciplined, determined, for the sake of the will of heaven. Oh, gee, what is the will of heaven? Then you should know that inside you. That's what it's all about. And when you can calibrate like this, and you are in a position of sexual, creative energy, libido balance, you will be able or enabled in your psychological or meditative trances to experience the other entities. And they can experience you. Like I said, they see you. But if you are in a position of balance, they cannot touch you. The Elohim Tzevaot cannot touch the Havayat Tzevaot. It cannot touch Havayah. Because the energy is properly balanced and in alignment. And this is the secret of ascent. This all works. This attribute of the Yesod is called the Shabbat, because it's the place of proper alignment of nature and humanity. I gave a class many, many years ago. I don't think it's on Kosher Torah in the MP3 store, but I really got to get it up there, called Mind and Mitzvot. And I asked this simple question. The Holy Sabbath, we all know the Sabbath, right? Observe the Sabbath day. Is Sabbath observance in the world, or is it in the mind? And people debated this back and forth, and I concluded and said, it's in the mind. How can that be? I quoted to them a very simple law, dating back to Mishnaic times. If and when a person is lost in the desert, remember in those days, you get lost in the desert, and you weren't carrying your local, you know, calendar, and you didn't have your iPhone or all the rest, and you weren't subject to those crazy insane rabbis trying to break phones like lunatics, but rather you're lost out in the wilderness, and for days and days, of course you got a good camel with all the food and water out there, but you don't know when it's the Sabbath. What do? It says you start to measure from the time that you last remember you observe. Count 7 days. You might end up observing the Sabbath on a Wednesday, but all the laws of the Sabbath apply. Is it in the world, or is it in your mind? Clearly, Sabbath is a state of consciousness which we endeavor to express in our observance. And if it ain't inside you, then all of your external observance is a complete sham and a fraud. God looks upon it not as a blessing. And I be silent. It's also called, yes, so it is, shalom, peace, balance, alignment. It is that which the world stands upon. This is a reflection of the Tiferet. And it comes about through Netzach and Hod. And it all comes down into Malchut. Malchut, called Aretz, the physical world, this dimension. Like we said, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? Which came first, the heavens and the earth? It's a very famous discussion in the Tractate Haggigah. Matter of fact, we are learning this material. We just recently learned this material at our How to Live a Godly Life, the Mystical Legends of the Talmud series. We just covered this. Heavens and the earth are these parallel dimensions. Don't go looking for which one is higher, which one is lower, which one is better, which one is worse. Because we must realize that they are in a symbiotic relationship of give and take, penetrate, receive, male and female. In the ancient language, this is called du partsufim. Partsuf means face. Du means two or dual. And it states, as we know, that Adam was originally male and female, two partsufim. Now, two faces. No, he wasn't actually a physically two-faced person. But rather, the original Adamic race has within it male and female souls. And I might add, the male and the female were all within one. And to this very day, they're still within us. According to Jungian psychology, those who are biologically male and have a predominant male psyche, that male psyche is only maybe 51%. And just below the consciousness, there's the 49% inner female of the male called the anima. And the opposite also exists, that within the female. Even though she is biologically female, and then her mind is 51% female, within her, just below the consciousness, is the 49% male called the animus. When we marry, seek a partner, we are seeking an external hook that our internal sexual opposite can hang on. So therefore, if you are a man, you seek a woman who is the expression of your inner anima. If you're a female, you are seeking a male who is the expression of your inner animus. And this way, by being in that properly balanced relationship, the external female activates the man's inner female. And the external male activates the woman's internal male, thus making both whole and complete human beings. There are many, many secrets, because the what we call spiritual domain, Tiferet, physical domain, Asiya, those parallel dimensions, and the membrane domains, this is their relationship. They are male and female. Our text here goes and discusses elements and aspects of male-female relationships. How a man pursues after a wife so that they can be married. How the woman establishes the home so that there can be balance and the like. This is not just social convenience. It is a reflection and nature of higher dimensional realities which we experience within us as psychological realities. And therefore, this physical domain seeks desperately to be bonded with what we call the spiritual domain, like a female seeks and desires to have a husband. And you might say today,
Well, many women have realized they have careers, they have other things, they're not interested in a man.
That's most unnatural. It is most out of sync with nature.
It is, I can't deny that.
And due to the unfortunate experiences that many people have had in their relationships, can't blame somebody for wanting to be alone. Because, good gosh, some of the losers out there, the abuse, the insult that I've seen people experience, I don't blame them for wanting to run the other way. But deep down, they know they're doing so to their own harm. They might say, well, gee, I wish Mr. or Mrs. Right or Mr. and Mrs. Perfect were out there for me. Well, anybody who's ever been married for a long time knows there's no such thing as a Mr. or Mrs. Right. And I quote the line of an old song from the 1960s, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. And surprise, you might magically find that the one you're with might become the one you love. Because love is not a feeling. Love is your actions and your deeds. And you find a transformation when you do the right thing. I know, this is very unpopular. People don't like me talking like this because they get very angry, because they reflect back to their own lives, and I don't know. So people are people, what can I say? But getting back to what I'm trying to say here, our human relationships reflect a higher dimensional reality. And when we calibrate with that reality, we open doorways and access within us that we can, if you will, walk with the angels. That is why, for example, we're all commanded, especially the men, to be married. And it is specifically the reason why our society today, the more we grow into a growing state of secularism, which is not supposed to be disconnecting from spirituality or God, but is becoming more distant from the parent universe, the more detached. And what happens when people are sexually frustrated, detached, and alone? They become very bitter, very angry, many times even self-destructive. Idiosyncratic. Look at the world and what's happening to it. This is exactly what is happening on a global scale to the entire human race. Because at the individual level, we are imbalanced, incongruent, and therefore the nature of the ascent is skewered. And that which needs to ascend is not ascending. And that which needs to descend, therefore, cannot descend. What happens when things are incongruent? Eventually it builds up, builds up, builds up, till something explodes. We might be close to that explosion in the collective human psyche, in human politics and history, at this very moment. Who knows how much more society can bear before ultimately we descend into a state of global mass psychosis. Very close to it right now. People literally are insane. They twist and turn and turn and twist, wherein which truth has become falsehood, and falsehood has become truth, and good has become bad, and bad has become good. There's no talking to them. Just no getting through. There is no inner reference anymore. Because in their opinion, there is no such thing as an inner. They want to deny the existence of a soul, of God, of anything spiritual. They're adamant about it. This imbalances the entire universe. So ultimately, he concludes here, quoting here a Gemara, which states that every day a voice would cry forth from Mount Sinai and saying, you know, woe to the world for the disgrace shown to the Torah. Well, that's not quoted here, but I'm saying that. Because ultimately what that voice is the voice of conscience, which we do not hear, because we do not calibrate with. He brings down here another Gemara, a very famous one, where it states that every day a voice would go that said that the daughter of so-and-so is destined to marry so-and-so. And he asks the question, how come it doesn't say the son of so-and-so to marry? Why is the female the one who is destined and directed and not the male? Because this entire physical plane of ours is being directed and guided and is meant to be united. And it's the job of the Elohim Tzivaot, the watchers, to properly calibrate and guide and direct. And as long as we allow a perversion and misdirection to continue, then indeed they will eventually receive their marching orders from above. Very simple. Three words. Rectify the situation. And like I said, they don't think like we think. They don't feel like we feel. Their job is to align things. Sometimes their ways of alignment we would call catastrophic. Not that they care, but that's what happens. We must understand the fundamental relationship of these two parts of Fim. Not just spiritually, not only psychologically, but as an actual relationship in the fundamental fabric and nature of reality between what we experience as our higher and lower selves, our physical and spiritual nature. There are complete other universes inhabited by multiple races whose jobs it is to keep things in a state of alignment. And they seek to work with you. They seek to work with me. They seek to work with us. That is the way these things are. And each one of us has the opportunity, the choice, to contribute to make something greater. There's an interesting question here in text about the angel Gabriel. Is he the one who brings wars? Gabriel and Michael are the two angels on the Ark of the Covenant. Gabriel and Michael are the same angels as Metatron and Sandalphon, just different names. Michael or Metatron is the archangel and guardian angel of Israel. You want to take a wild guess who Gabriel's the guardian angel of? That's a dramatic pause. Gabriel is the guardian angel of these United States. He is the one who was called upon by the founding fathers, knowing that Michael was for Israel. This nation was chosen and placed under the domain of Gabriel. That's why Israel, as a nation, not necessarily the government, you know, the people in the land right now, but the spirit of what Israel is and the spirit of what these United States are, why they're one and the same. And why the enemies of freedom, they just want to destroy what? The little Satan called Israel? No, they want to destroy the big Satan of the United States. What's bad about the United States? What? They got something against pizza and hot dogs? They don't like the colors red, white, and blue? They don't like English? They don't like Levi jeans? What's the big deal? They don't like the concept of freedom, choice, responsibility, individual responsibility. Not a government that dictates to you, but your conscience, Ferret, which dictates to you and requires of you to be balanced male and female, because only male and female together is called Adam. In other words, a man. So for every one of us out there, male and female, the great lesson is be a man. I didn't say that within the context of masculinity, because part of man is female. Any matriarch of any family or domain knows this darn well. She is more of a man than many of the males.
in the family. Because she sets down the hod by bringing in the Netzach. When we integrate these attributes, not only that we agree with them philosophically, you got to live them. It's not enough that you say, well, I have them psychologically. There's nothing inside unless it exists outside. Matter of fact, that's usually the way it works. Ascent is from the outside in. You have to act. You have to be politically active, socially active, standing up, being heard, influencing, dominating, conquering. And if not, then where's your Netzach? Where's your power? How do you ever expect to have the proper way if you don't work to bring it about? Oh, God will do it. Yeah, but God acts through you. That's the way it is here in Malchut. And Malchut and Tiferet are the two parts of him, the male and the female. The Netzach and the Hod, the Yesod, Nahi, they're the conduits that make it so. So when we are properly aligned with the conduit, we unite heavens and earth. We unite Adam and Eve. We unite Zanuk. We unite the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Shekhinah. This is the great secret. It is imperative on each and every one of us for our own psychological stability, our own spiritual development and growth, and our own responsibilities. This is what Torah is all about. The unity of heaven and earth. So pretty much, God be willing, we've covered this material. And I pray and hope that you will understand its essential nature. That the daughter is destined for the son. This domain is destined to be reunited with the heavenly domain. The two dimensions will merge as one. At that vortex of meeting is the time when we call Mashiach. And there will be a comprehensive, fundamental changes to the fabric of the universe as we understand it. That is what we call the coming of Mashiach. And I hate to disappoint you. That might not be yet for some time yet. Alrighty. Let's conclude tonight's class on that note. My hope and my prayer is not only that you get it, but that you do it. Again, I'm your host, Ariel Bar-Tzedok. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Shalom.